Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and I'm so pleased to have with us the author of the most well-known and trusted relationship book of all time, Dr. John Gray. USA listed his Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus book as one of the top 10 most influential books of the last quarter century. In hardcover, it was the number one best-selling book of the decade of the 1990s. Having written over 20 books, his most recent is Beyond Mars and Venus, Relationship Skills for Our Complex Modern World. And his Mars-Venus book series has forever changed the way men and women view their relationships. So stay with us for an enlightening episode of Exploring the Universe of Relationships with a man who has influenced the way millions of people view and nurture their relationships. John, welcome back to Answers Network.
Alan, thanks so much. Happy to be back.
I love it. We've only got 50 minutes, and I feel like I could do 4 hours. So I'm going to jump right into one of the things, which is to take people back. As someone who has, I've read the book multiple times. I'm very appreciative to have been your guest at one of your retreats. And I believe that was in 2018. And I find myself quoting your words frequently. In fact, I did so recently, as I pointed out to my sweetheart, how I still struggle at times with listening without going into fix-it mode. And for those in the audience who haven't read the book, please explain a little bit about Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Well, in that book, it was over 30 years ago, and one of the big issues that women would have is men don't listen. And being a man, we do listen, but not the way women want. Okay, so for them, the full meaning of you don't listen is I just need you to hear me, try to empathize with me, ask a few questions to go a little deeper, and it creates a safe place for me to sort of explore out loud what's going on inside of me. Men tend to explore quietly what's going on inside. You know, we don't have to, theoretically, to a great extent, we don't have to tell everybody about it. We sort of mull it over. We reflect on it. We think, what can I do about it? But for women, it's very, very helpful if they can sort of speak out loud, explore as they're saying, which means they may not always follow the same track. She could jump from one thing to another. She could go from being frustrated to feeling happy. You know, there's a dynamic that women would just say, I just need you to listen. So what I did is help translate that phrase for men, which is that means don't speak, ask questions. And on a practical note, just for a walk away for people today, for all the men, well, what am I supposed to do? Just listen? And I say, well, it seems like you're doing nothing. It does seem like you're doing nothing, but it's actually very helpful. But what you can do is ask questions. You can say, help me understand that better. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. What else? And then sometimes in relationships, things get a little heated. And at those times, it's really important for men to stop talking and ask more questions. Because ultimately, we want her to feel good. But sometimes the mistake we make is to tell her why she shouldn't be upset, why you shouldn't be bothered. And that doesn't make her feel good. It's like a woman telling a man why you shouldn't do something. You often don't want to hear that. I can figure it out myself. So for us, it's literally to know that women have a mechanism inside, which is if they can talk about what's bothering them, or they can just talk about what's going on in their life. And often it's problems. We don't have to solve them unless she's very specific and says, what do you think I should do about that? And even then, I hesitate to say it because it really makes her feel good if she can be uninterrupted. In a sense, a man learns what I learned being a therapist to women, which is ask more questions, say less, and they seem to be go from a little stress level to feeling at ease and comfortable, and then they appreciate you. So that's, don't put on your Mr. Fix-It hat when your wife is talking. Instead, try to listen more.
Now, did you come up with this? I mean, obviously, you're in the helping field. Did you struggle with this yourself in the sense of, you know, you have your partner that starts talking to you about how horrible things were today or things like that, that it was it's kind of who we are. So you jump right into, I'm going to fix this.
Well, it makes logical sense if women were men. Okay, but they're not men. That's why understanding differences is really important. For me, the awareness dawned very clearly when my wife came home complaining about her job. You know, they're not listening to me. They expect me to do all this, and people are disappointing her, and the copy machine's not working. And so there was this ongoing frustration she was having with her work. And I said to her, honey, why don't you just quit that job? You don't have to do that job. Find something else. I can support us, you know. And she looked at me like I was from another planet. And she said, honey, I love my job. I just need to talk about what's going on. And then I feel better. And I took that to heart. And then I realized that that's to a certain extent what a therapist can do for women particularly. And it even improved my therapy practice, which is I would hold off from giving my advice, from trying to explain things, until a woman felt heard and understood. And then she was actually then saying, why do you think he did that? Or what do you think I should do differently? So I would always reserve this solving problems. Now, Alan, if you came to me and looking to me as your coach, I would get right into strategy and get right into what we need to do. Why do you think she does that? What do you think you're doing that's making it worse? What exactly happened? For a man, being objective and being a problem solver actually makes you feel good instead of feeling powerless, where women start out being able to share, and then they will come back to either they come back to feeling like, okay, it's no big deal, I'm fine, I'm so glad you listened, I feel better. In a sense, there were what I observed in women, which is they communicate just like men sometimes, but three other times, okay, four ways to communicate. One is solving problems, having a logical discussion. But there's another, which is just talking in order to feel good. Okay. Another is talking in order to make sense of things. And another is talking to feel intimate. And intimacy, this emotional intimacy, is very, very powerful, which we don't realize as men, that she's often just talking just because she feels, I want to connect with you. You know, I've been away from you all the time. You know, I just want to share my life with you, as opposed to us living in separate worlds.
I'm smiling because I was talking to my sweetheart and I was telling her you were going to be on the show. And she says, well, she goes, I really look forward to the time of meeting him and thanking him for helping make you a better person.
So, that's very good. That's very good.
Yeah. So let's fast forward.
Let me say a little joke for that one. It's just, it reminds me of a woman coming out of one of my classes, and she was, had tears in her eyes, kind of tears of joy. And I said, she said, thank you, thank you. And I said, well, what did I say? And she says, when I listened to you speak, I realized God made my husband this way.
Yeah, I think we are kind of wired that way. But anyway, I was going to say, so to fast forward a little bit, because again, we're now talking about 30 years ago when you first wrote the book. But now in your latest book, Beyond Mars and Venus, you address modern relationship challenges. So, you know, share with us how you think relationships have evolved since your first book, on the subject of relationships.
Well, I watched this happen over 30 years as women began to feel they're from Mars. When I would describe many of the things about men, and we only touched in on one of them, but there's so many, they would say, I feel like I'm from Mars. I feel like my husband's from Venus. And I would, this is called a shift, a role reversal, which is not everywhere, but very common, where women actually relate more to the Mars examples, which were very common 30 years ago. And now women, we might say, are on their male side. And it's hard for them when they're on their male side to come back to their female side. For example, when they come home from work, they're too busy trying to solve all the problems. They don't even want to talk. And if they did talk, it would be very more difficult for her to feel the need to talk about her feelings and what's going on. She tends to be overwhelmed with not enough time. And talking for her is a way to connect. But we men want to connect with our wives. So if our wives are not on their female side, what happens is we start talking more to try to create some connection. So it used to be women would say, you know, my husband doesn't talk much. And now for some women, again, this is a trend for some women. They say, my husband talks too much and I don't have time to listen. I don't want to listen. And I feel like I'm nurturing him when I really need him to be there for me. And so this is a switch which is taking place. And so many women today are saying, I need to find my feminine side again, because I tend to be overwhelmed in the doing part of me. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have no time for me. And so the theme of Beyond Mars and Venus, and when I'm saying Beyond Mars and Venus, I'm saying beyond those traditional roles that men were like the provider and women was the homemaker. And certainly that wasn't always the case, but women could still relate to many of the examples I give, like we talked about one for talking about her feelings. And now when men start talking about their feelings, women want to give advice to them. And then so a lot of the things are very confused now. And so I've sort of clarified what is our male side and what is our female side. And I've done that by pointing out how our hormones are different. Now, hormones regulate our moods all the time. Okay. Any woman who's ever had her period knows that hormones affect the mood tremendously.
Yep.
And so, and that's controversial even to say that for some reason, but we know that our hormones affect us. And so I look at this simple science, which is when a woman is experiencing stress hormones, the cortisol, her other hormones, her more feminine hormones, change. When a woman has elevated cortisol, which means in the brain, whether it be a man or a woman, when we have cortisol, we have a bias towards looking at negativity. It's very hard to feel love in that moment or think of all the wonderful things in your life when you're feeling a bias towards negativity, which is the outcome of elevated towards stress. And what I mean by bias towards negativity can just simply be looking at the problems rather than being optimistic. Because as human beings, we're designed to look at problems and then look at solutions. And we actually, the left prefrontal cortex of the brain has been proven to be optimistic, proven to be pessimistic. And when we're experiencing elevated stress levels, we tend to become pessimistic. Our hearts close as opposed to being open-minded, open-hearted. So now we've established a baseline. It's hard to feel the love in your life. You may love your partner, but it's hard to feel that love when you're in a stress state. Now, when a woman is in a stress state, her estrogen levels are low, lower than they should be. When a man is in a stress state, his testosterone levels are lower than they should be. So we have a baseline of pretty much healthy, happy man and woman. A happy woman typically will be making, her body is making 10 times more estrogen than a man. And a happy man is making 10 times more testosterone than a woman. So what we see is, and for romantic feelings, a woman's estrogen levels need to become double again, 20 times higher than a man's, and a man's testosterone levels have to rise up as well. So in my research on men and women, I found that certain behaviors raise estrogen in women and certain behaviors raise testosterone in men. And certain communications will raise testosterone in men and certain ways of communicating will raise estrogen in women. So the one example we took, which is men listening, if a man's listening to a woman and she feels heard, she feels like you care, she feels you're not judging her as a little crazy, so she feels understood, she feels respected, that you're not interrupting her, huge amounts of estrogen go up, that lowers her stress, and the things that were bothering her brain, her mind is saying, this is a big problem, this is a big problem, it's no longer a big problem. So she comes back to a more relaxed state. Meanwhile, if a man is listening and he knows clearly I'm helping her, and she even says to him at periods of time, which is, it feels so good when you just listen, I appreciate how much support I feel when I can go to you and talk about my feelings and know that you'll understand them in a positive way, then he feels successful. So what I've seen is for men, any type of communication that says to him, he is successful, that his behaviors are successful, his testosterone goes up. And for women, whenever a man's behavior says she's a priority, that he cares about her, he understands her, her estrogen goes up. And this is quite obvious because all of the traditional romantic behaviors to raise women's estrogen up were behaviors that said, tonight, let me do for you what you could do for yourself, but because I love you so much, I want to do everything for you tonight. And that's like going out to dinner. A woman can make her own food, but you have somebody else make food for her. You go to a hotel for a little getaway, whatever. Somebody's taking care of the room, it's all clean, it's nice, they'll clean up afterwards. So when you do things for a woman that she could do for herself, but doesn't have to because of your presence, she will have high estrogen levels. And if you see traditionally in the old days, what did men do? Men did the things that women could do for themselves, but they didn't have to do because a man would do it for her, which means go outside and do jobs that are dirty, dangerous, and difficult. And when men did those things that women didn't have to do for themselves, they could choose what they liked to do, which in many cases would be a mother and have family and all that. They had a high estrogen response. But today, when women are out doing the dirty, dangerous, difficult jobs that require sacrifice, decision-making, risk, and danger, which is the business world. Every decision you make is a risk. So women are making lots of testosterone. It's not bad that they make more testosterone. The problem is when they don't make enough estrogen.
Gotcha.
Or after they ovulate, their body needs to continue making estrogen, but now it needs to make another hormone called progesterone. And progesterone, what I've seen and some research backs up, is that women, when they're doing something, they enjoy doing. When you enjoy doing something, which is not risky or dangerous, but you're enjoying it, your body makes plenty of progesterone. And we know, again, biologically, if a woman's progesterone goes down, that's called PMS, which is they become extremely moody. And the amount of discussion about suicide in women always occurs at that time when her progesterone is too low. That's a woman's place of despair and depression and so forth, tends to be that happening.
Wow. As somewhat of a biohacker myself, I love the fact that you advocate strongly the integration of, you know, of looking at people's hormones, you know, more than just traditional mental health. I know that you also bring nutrition in. What are some simple changes? And especially for some of us, you know, that, you know, I've read and I believe that we lose a certain amount of our, in women, estrogen, and men, testosterone as we age. So what are some of the simple changes that people can make in their diet or through supplementation to benefit their mental and emotional well-being?
Okay, so yes, there's behavioral things that we can do. And again, the book Beyond Mars and Venus really focuses on the behavioral things. Then there's also biohacks that have to do with nutrition and those sorts of things. Fasting is a way that men can bump up testosterone. It's a very powerful thing, any type of discipline. So in the whole biohacking world, a lot of it is about discipline to take care of your body. And that's particularly helpful for testosterone levels. Then there's also the discipline of monogamy. When a man is having regular sex, but also monogamous sex. And that's a tricky thing. A lot of men, as they get older, they're monogamous with their partners, but they're not having that much sex with their partners. The key is to have regular sex at least once a week. Very important for a man's biological testosterone levels. For that to occur, he has to make love to his partner in a way that makes her want to have sex. It's very, very important for his testosterone levels to be with a partner who is enjoying physical intimacy with her. So I wrote a book on that, which is called Mars, Venus in the Bedroom, which is to make sure that the man, at least in the bedroom, provides the kind of support for a woman's estrogen levels to double. Outside the bedroom, of course, these communication skills that I've been talking about in all my books help to raise estrogen in women. And when they hit menopause, it's natural for women's estrogen levels to drop because the the ovaries are no longer making estrogen. However, her body goes through a transition, and that transition is often creating the symptoms of menopause, where no longer is she making most of her estrogen. She's no longer making estrogen from her ovaries. She's making it from her adrenal glands. Mm-hmm. Now, the adrenal glands easily are burnt out by that time if she hasn't been stress-free in her life before then. Okay, so when women are on their male side, we know their stress levels are double. And again, we look at women in the workplace. A huge big study was done. It showed that women are in the workplace. And remember, this is average. It's not every woman, but the average woman in the workplace, it averaged out that her cortisol levels were double what the men's were. Mm. So again, the conclusion is the workplace was designed by men for men and not necessarily for women. Many transitions are taking place that makes the workplace a more friendly place for women, like teamwork, coaching, even I teach in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And the Middle East, they love me. If you want to get a divorce, the judge gives them my book first. And if you work in the government, I'm the only white person that's ever allowed into the government buildings in the Middle East and some of the places, because they love my work. And the work is, they want to bring women into the workplace, but they also know that it's stressful for women. And they look at my book and they have coaching. So the big companies all provide coaches for women, where women can share what their feelings are to someone that is not going to change anything in the workplace. So they're not the business itself. They're separate from the business. What I've found is, if you look at why therapy can be effective for women, it's often because they're sharing their feelings with me, for example, but they're not trying to change me.
Right.
When you use negative emotions, frustration, disappointment, concerns, worries, fears, regret, shame, guilt, these kind of emotions that we help women to feel, because that produces a lot of estrogen. When they feel those emotions, if they're not trying to change somebody with the emotions, then it breaks the addiction to using negativity to get what you want. See, that's a profound thought that most people never thought of.
No, yeah, it really is profound. And at a time right now when we're being hit with so much negativity from so many different levels, I think that's a great point. So for everybody, we're talking with Dr. John Gray, and his latest book is Beyond Mars and Venus. We're going to take a break. If you know somebody that has talked to you about anything in regards to a relationship issue, send them a text now. Tell them, tune in. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practice lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're joined by Dr. John Gray, and we are talking about relationships. We have a question that has come in through instant message. This one reads, Dr. Gray, my husband and I have been married for 23 years. We have two children. The youngest has just gone away to college, leaving us with an empty nest. Unfortunately, I have felt disconnected from my husband for over 10 years. Focusing on the kids seemed to be enough to get by. Now I want a partner who wants to talk to me, be intimate with me, and to connect with me. What are some practical strategies couples like us can use to improve communication and understanding when they feel emotionally disconnected or misunderstood in their relationship?
You know, the question reveals a very important little phrase in there, which is, I want a husband who will talk to me. What your husband needs is a wife who will talk to him in a way that makes him feel good. Connection happens if I'm talking to you and you're listening, or you're talking to me and I'm listening. And what I see is a lot of times when couples, exactly what you're describing, is, you know, a woman basically can feel love by taking care of her children. But when her children are gone, she doesn't have that support. And so part of the way she's been feeling love is by nurturing her children. And what she has to learn is how to open a door for her husband to actually emotionally nurture her. So the focus, I help many couples with this, shift the thinking of trying to get him to talk, open up, share what he's feeling, share what he's thinking. Instead, it's for her to say to him, I want to feel connected to you. I want to reestablish that connection. And it, just what she said in the question. And I realized I need to start opening up and sharing my feelings with you. And those feelings, ideally, the way you communicate feelings that may not always be positive to your husband is don't share negative feelings about him. Share negative feelings about things that are going on in your life. And what I mean by negative feelings is things that are frustrating to you. And you say to him, honey, I want to feel more connected to you. It feels so good. And I want to share with you what's been going on in my life, what I'm feeling. And it's not about you. It's about other things. Even though she does have feelings about him, this is not the time to share those feelings. That will just come across as he has failed you in some way. There's some problem and he's the cause of the problem. Because clearly in your mind, if you would open up and share, you think that you would be so connected. But what I know from my years of experience is that if I help the woman to open up and use the man to help her to open up, now she will start feeling connection. You don't have to go into him to feel connected. It's for the man to go into the woman to feel connected. That's why if we look at our basic biology, that's what's going on, is the man goes into the woman to connect with his female side. He feels connected to her in that way. However, here's one of my biohacks, besides some of the nutritional products I do recommend. We were going in that direction, but we'll shift to say to him, honey, I know that you love me. I know, you know, we'll always be together. I love you. But sometimes I feel insecure. I have insecurities and you could help me. It would only take 3 minutes to do that. Would you help me? And I'll do it every day. He'll say, sure, 3 minutes. What's the big deal? Well, there's a script I'd like you to follow. I'm going to say to you, even though I know you love me, I'm going to say, do you love me? And then you're going to say, yes, I love you. And then I'm going to say, how much do you love me? And you're going to say, with all my heart. And I'm going to say, are you happy you married me? And you're going to say, I'm so happy you married me. And I'm going to say, do you still think I'm beautiful? And you're going to say, yes, I still think you're beautiful. And that's four pieces of the script. Now, there can be longer to that, but that's a good beginning. Yep. And what that does, she opens the door. See, I look at women as the gatekeepers. They have to open up. And when they open up, the man plants the seed. So that's a very exciting process for men because a woman is opening up. Women don't realize that they are the ones who turn men on. Okay. It's when a woman is vulnerable. And it's a very vulnerable thing to feel insecure and reveal it to your partner. But clearly, if you're not feeling connected to your partner, one of the feelings you're having deep inside, and you can try it out, is feeling, does he love me as much as he used to? Because both of you, you feel you're not connected, then clearly you're not feeling the love and the reassurance. Yep. We as human beings all need reassurance on a daily basis. And if you want to bring back that love, and this goes against everybody's common sense, but I promise you it will work. It's amazing is you just simply say, once you do this, it's just a 3-minute process every day. And you say to him, oh, honey, do you love me? He says, yes. He doesn't say, of course. He doesn't say, oh, well, why do you think I work so hard? Well, I'm your husband. Why would you even think that? All of that is, yeah, we know all that. I know you love me. But this is just for me to raise my estrogen and feel very vulnerable. Because if I was to say, do you love me? And you said, no, that would hurt. So that's a vulnerable thing to say. And trust me, I tell you, inside of it would just feel so good once you explain to him the logic of this. She's not saying, you don't love me. She's not saying you don't love me enough. She's basically saying we're doing an exercise because I have insecurity. And so yeah. I'm bringing it up. Then he'll be happy to be your knight in shining armor and say, yes, I love you. And I'll tell you, as a man, when you open up and I say those words, I will feel them again. See, when you say the words, the feelings follow. That's why so many couples want to feel what they felt in the beginning of a relationship. And they don't, because in the beginning of the relationship, he was telling you all the time, I love you. And a part of you was always wondering, do you love me? Am I pretty enough? Do you want to be with me? Are you glad to be with me? You're strongly in touch with those feelings. Those feelings are always there. You know, Alan's a successful man. I'm a successful man. Every day we're looking for reassurance that we are a success, that we make a difference. And how do we know that? Because when people tell us we help them, we feel so good because a message is going in that, yes, I am helping people. I am a success in helping people. Well, for women, they have that side. That's their male side. But it's the female side. Am I being loved? Am I being seen as beautiful? Does he prioritize me? Does he care about me? So this is a little biohack that will raise your estrogen, probably more than 10 of my other biohacks, but I do have them and they're all in Beyond Mars and Venus.
Well, the part that connected the most with me when you led up to that was her saying, can you help me? I mean, I think that's, it's so beautiful that that's the lead in, because as I'm listening to this and as a man, and I'm thinking, well, of course I want to help. And, you know, to approach it like that, other than, again, as you said, if she starts with, you never listen to me, I need you to say this.
Or even the phrase, I don't feel connected to you anymore. What's a man supposed to feel like? What did I do wrong? What's the problem here? I'm just saying me. It's just like me. So it's a vulnerability. And I have this insecurity. Can you help me? And it will only take a few minutes. So that's one of my biohacks. Another one, and I'm going to share.
I would love for you to share another one.
Okay. Another one is raising your hand with five fingers. As soon as you raise your hand with, you discuss this beforehand, that this is a way he can help her to restore her estrogen levels and feel happier and feel more secure inside. So that's the point. Every day you say, there's something you could do for me that would take 5 minutes and it will make a huge difference to me and make me feel that I'm your equal, because sometimes I feel insecure and I'm not that important. Okay. As opposed to, you don't make me feel important. You ignore me. You don't say any of that stuff. Say, I will make me feel you're equal. I want to feel important too, because you are so important. A lot of things you can say. Okay. Then it's every day I'll raise my hand. In the beginning, you practice it this way. Then after a while, you don't need to, but you raise your hand. It says for in a time period of 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something for me that I could do something for myself, but you're going to be enthusiastic and really happy to do it. And it will only take less than 5 minutes. It could be as quick as my saying, honey, would you make me a cup of tea? And your response would be right away, happy to do it. I'm so glad to do it. I'm your genie in a bottle. You know, your wish is my command, just for 5 minutes. Okay. This is a powerful thing. And every day my wife, now she doesn't have to raise her hand five fingers up. She just says, John, would you go finish the dishes over there? Sure, honey, I'll finish the dishes. John, would you make me a cup of tea? John, would you get the oil upstairs and get me a foot massage? And I go, sure, right away. Because I know the expectation is 5 minutes and it's going to help my wife. What man cannot muster the energy, even if he's really tired? Boom, right away. And she doesn't have to worry, is he tired? Is he bothered? Is it going to be a bummer for him? Is he going to grumble about it? Is he going to resent it? But no, it's just 5 minutes every day. And it will make her feel so much more connected to her partner.
I love it. As I mentioned earlier, that Men Are From Mars continues to have a profound effect on me. But can you recall a particular moment or a feedback from a reader that deeply moved you and made you realize the incredible impact that your work has had?
I have 100, maybe 1,000 moments. I've for 30 years, I've traveled around the world, 20 different countries. I teach in some countries, big audiences, you know, and here in my own hometown is like 30 people, but I'm very happy to do that because it's more personal. But when you travel around the world, you see you're in airports a lot. there's almost never a time in the airport where somebody doesn't come up to me and say to me, I read the book. Or they say, first they say, you wrote the book. The book. And I say, yeah, I wrote the book. And they say, we were divorced and we got back together. We just thought we were too different to make it work. And you helped us to start dating again, and we're in love, and you saved a family. That's profound. You know, as a therapist, I never had that effect, but the book for some people has that effect. Because in some cases, not every case, but in some cases, couples end up, they love each other, they just get in arguments, they don't understand each other, they feel neglected, you know, and a man will feel, no matter what I do, it's never enough. She's never happy with me. And a woman will feel, I give so much, I don't get back, I have nothing left to give. And then they realize that, oh my gosh, my partner's been doing the best they could. They just didn't understand what I needed. Here's another way to communicate it. Here's a way to understand it. And they get back together. And that has touched me so much. That keeps me traveling. I love hearing that one.
That's great. I want to circle back. I know we had an instant message question that came in, so I wanted to get that out as quickly as possible. But before the break, we were talking a little bit about nutrition, about the huge impact that nutrition and hormones have on our mental health. So can you share some of the kind of simple changes that people can do either with their diet or with, you know, with supplementation, and especially as we age?
Well, there's actually a mineral that actually causes the only mineral known that will stimulate your brain cells to regenerate and increase brain cells. So this mineral I've been taking for 25 years, I think I probably have more brain cells now than I had before, according to the research. All I know is that certain minerals can stabilize your mood. And when you stabilize mood, it's because your hormones are being stabilized. And it's a very unique ingredient. Two unique ingredients. One of the ingredients is the only ingredient known to actually make it into the DNA, into the genome, and help it repair itself. Once we get in bad habits, the genome is repeating itself every 3 months. And so if you move in a certain wrong direction for quite a while, when your genome repairs it, when your genome duplicates itself, it duplicates itself with a lot of errors. So you want to help the genome to repair itself. And there's more research now on genomes and genes and all that sort of stuff, DNA. But there's a substance in mother's milk called orotic acid. And orotic acid is one of its functions is to help repair the genome. So I really like that one. And I talk about that one because most people don't know anything about it. Certainly, I could list 40 supplements that are all great for people for different things, but the knowledge is really, you know, out there now. People are really getting it, but still nobody's clicked into this. So I'll take the time I have with you to share this one. Okay. It's really the only product I go out of my way to mention. And I even have information about it at my website, which is marsvenus.com. If people go there, it's on the right front page. It's called Elemental Orotates, Orotic Acid. And the other ingredient that's very, very unique, and certainly other things are important, like calcium and potassium and zinc. These are all important minerals, but we get most of that, okay? But when we experience stress or we experience happiness, anytime we experience these extremes, extreme excitement, extreme depression or unhappiness or shock, whenever that happens, we become depleted in a mineral called lithium.
Okay.
And lithium is the most powerful mood regulator known to man. The reason I talk about it particularly is because it's not legal in any country other than America. It's not illegal to use. It's not a drug in any way. It's just that you can't sell it. Pharmaceutical industries have wrapped this one up. But in America, you can still buy it. You still can't buy it in stores. You can buy it online. And it's called lithium orotate. Lithium orotate. And you only need a little small dose of it, 5 to 10 milligrams. Now, it has a bad name. If you go anywhere online, you search, it will say, oh, it has terrible side effects, because they're referring to the drug version of lithium. And lithium is still just an element, but the drug version is lithium carbonate. And in order to get an effect in the brain, you have to give the patient 500 times the dose that the brain really needs. So it's a salt. And so that salt, you can't take 500 times the dose of salt without side effects. So they eventually outlawed it everywhere because they think that, well, if people think a little bit will make you feel good, if more will make you feel better. You don't need more. If you take 500 times the dose, you will have side effects. But if you bond the lithium through a process developed by a German doctor with mother's milk, orotic acid in mother's milk, if you bond those two together, and it's no longer mother's milk they're using cow milk, but once you bond the orotic acid with the mineral, it crosses the blood-brain barrier and goes right where it needs to do its function, because it tends to balance the extreme moods in the brain of overexcitement to feeling down, addiction, and all those kinds of things of hyperstimulation, low stimulation. That gets regulated. And as that's regulated, the hormone expression in the body becomes regulated. It's all tied in together. So because I focus so much on hormones today, I think one of the most powerful things people can take is one of the cheapest supplements to buy is lithium orotate. And you can find that online. Some of it is not as good as others because they don't process it right. They just take it out of the ground and blend it up. But there's a whole process Dr. Nieper discovered. But what I did is, having promoted this for 25 years, I combined the lithium orotate along with other minerals, calcium and potassium orotate, or was calcium and magnesium orotate, which get into the brain, cofactors. And then I added something that I think everybody should be aware of, another nutraceutical, which is ashwagandha. It's very good to help the hormone balance. The another one is berberine. Berberine is very good in order to stabilize blood sugar. Some research says it's better than any diabetic medicine, just simply taking the natural herb berberine. Very powerful. So those are two of my favorite ones. And now a new one is also in this product called saffron. You know, saffron rice used to be a big thing, but now finding that saffron cuts food cravings and also stabilizes mood. And of course, that means it's balancing your hormones. So I'm very happy about adding those ingredients in, plus several others, to make it kind of a lithium orotate plus. And it's called, presently it's called Elemental Orotates. You can find it, and for more information about the other ingredients and so forth, at marsvenus.com on the front page.
That's great. Yeah. And again, for those out there, if you're driving, we'll have all of this in the show notes. But again, it's marsvenus.com is the website. We're going to take another break. We will be right back. And when we come back, I'd like to know a little bit more about what's new and different that's going on right now. For everybody out there, you're listening to or watching Answers Network. Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. West Shield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through, not just the young person, but the parents, needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. West Shield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. West Shield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a usability to thrive in their new environment. and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step. And we're back. We're talking with Dr. John Gray. We are talking about relationships. And I wanted to share a little bit. I mentioned earlier that I've been to one of John's retreats, and it is phenomenal. Again, it's a 3-day retreat, but it's small, it's comfortable, it's very intimate, very emotional. And again, I'm somebody that, for those that have been listening to the show, you know that I go to a lot of different things, and I try to take in as much positive information as I can. But the nice part about this is the small amount of people, it's really makes you feel special. And I really felt like I got more out of that than probably anything like that I've done. So, John, I think that you have one coming up, and I think it's the last weekend the first week in August coming up this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's the first weekend in August. It's a relationship weekend, and it's for people who are single. Usually half the people are single wanting to find love in their lives. The other half are in relationships. And there's always a few people in a very troubled relationship. Most people just want to make the relationship better. They read the book, A Minute from Mars, and they go, or their friends told them, you got to do this. And it's very transformational. I'd say half the class is pretty much about the understanding of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, these relationship skills. And the other half is actual emotional intelligence 3.0. It's a way of learning how to look within yourself when you're not feeling love and happiness and joy, and make a transformation within yourself through processing emotions in a particular way, so that you're not so dependent on the outer world to change for you to feel better. And it's very gender specific. It's focusing on ways for men to do that, ways for women to do that, and then ways that everybody can, that both men and women can benefit from. Not everything is gender specific, of course. So it's very powerful. And, you know, you don't have to speak up and share if you don't. There's always people who will, and they usually express the things that you're feeling or thinking as well. And there's usually some people in troubled relationships where people are able to see a part of who they are. You know, it's wonderful when you see your own problems dramatically bigger over there, and you're overthinking. Don't you see? You could just so those people, they feel very safe. I think people say I respect everyone in a positive way. This is not like I'm a drill sergeant beating up people. I uplift people, but help people to transform. So it's a wonderful positive experience. And thanks, Alan, for asking me about it.
Yeah, and actually, I thought the point you just made about it being safe was safe. It was also very, I felt a great sense of synergy.
Yeah.
With the people there, and it seemed like as it went on, there was more and more synergy as we all felt more comfortable realizing that we're not that different.
Right.
We're all going through a lot of the same things. So,
you know, I just a simple point here, but you know, because I travel around the world and teach and in a sense, it's kind of a spiritual awakening for people. Like when I'm in China and I talk about my own experiences in America, and they go, this is what we're experiencing, you know, and it's not like cultures are not very different. Cultures are different, but there's a certain go a little deeper, and we're all human beings, and we're all sort of struggling and finding solutions and overcoming those problems, coming together. And that's a very spiritual message, a oneness that people begin to feel.
Well, John, I got to tell you, the time has flown by, but I absolutely love every time we get a chance to get together. I love it. I feel like I gain more, and I hope all of you out there have felt like you have gained an incredible amount of knowledge. And again, if you want more information, if you go to the website, again, it'll be in the show notes. But again, John, thank you so much for making a positive difference on the world for all of us.
It's my great. I'm grateful to allow you. I'm grateful to be on your show and talk about it. You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you. And for everybody out there, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you click the like button. And if you're interested in seeing more content like this, make sure you go and subscribe to the show, or you can check out our other shows. You can do it on our channel, on our website, which is answers.network, or any major social platform. Next week, we're going to discuss the pitfalls that people can fall into, and it sometimes holds them back from achieving their goals. So for everybody out there, please, if you're watching or you're listening, be good human beings and be with us next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.